Hi, everyone. This is Bob Anacci, and we are starting season two of our Bob Anacci podcast. It took a little while. Archie's safely ensconced in South Africa, and I'm still here in Massachusetts. And for season two, what we want to do is change things up a little bit. We're going to talk about the art of technical writing. Now, what does that mean? Well, we really don't know either, so we're going to explore that together. But basically, we're going to talk about a little history of technical writing, where it stands today, and how you can be a technical writer. Does that sound about right, Archie?
Sure does. Sure does. Technical writing is one of those fields that people come at it from all different directions. And I think every background is valid, whether you're a lawyer, an engineer, a doctor, or anything else. But you can, if you choose to be a technical writer, you can be one, and whatever it is that you know will help you as a technical writer.
And so we're going to go over a few of those things that will help you if you want to start your career or improve your career if you're a technical writer currently. So I think maybe we'll start off with a little history. In season one, we talked about our background a little bit. We're going to go over a little bit of that same old ground, how we became technical writers. So Archie, why don't you start that?
Okay. So it's kind of interesting. I went to college for electrical engineering, and I found that I was doing fine until I hit calculus, and I decided at that point that I would change majors. And I was lucky enough that my college at that time was just starting a technical writing program. It was something that was brand new. You could get an English major, but they had a program that they were starting specifically for technical writing. In fact, when I graduated, my degree was in journalism with a focus in technical writing. Since they didn't, I don't think their technical writing program had been accredited yet. So in the early days of technical, in the early days of what is now called technical writing, I don't think technical writing was what it is today. It was really just people who wrote stuff. And in fact, when I went to my first internship was with Raytheon here in Massachusetts. Well, there in Massachusetts, I should say now, we were working on mil-spec documents. Military spec. And all of my colleagues were older ex-military, all veterans of various wars. And I'm thinking about it. I know we have talked about this before, Bob. And thinking about it a little further, the reason they were all ex-military is because they all had to have clearance, including me. When I got there, I had to get clearance in order to work on this stuff. And so all these guys with had military clearances. So it's kind of made it easier for them to work on it than people off the street. So, and back in those days, a company like Raytheon would actually pay to get you your clearance. I think today you see job ads for mil-spec writers. They kind of expect you to already have clearance. So that kind of writing, as well as medical writing, they tend to want people who have already done it because they don't have to train them and they don't have to pay to get these certifications that you probably already have. So that's kind of where I started. And a lot of the work was, it's hard to, I only vaguely remember this stuff because it was yeah. Really.
Remember, we're talking last century. I mean, the 1800s, right? Something like that.
Exactly. A very, very long time ago. And back then writers were paid by the word, how many pages they produced.
Sounds horrible now.
Oh, it was horrible documentation. And I'm sure nobody read it except for,
military grunts.
Most of the training, I think, on people who worked on these things were word of mouth. So somebody who knew what they were doing would teach somebody who didn't know what they were doing. But nobody read anything.
But I think that still applies today.
I think so. So that was my start in technical writing.
Well, way back when, in the early days, Honeywell was a manufacturer of computers. And they were number two in the world, IBM being number one. And we also did military, we militarized a number of our computers for use in submarines. I started off life in Honeywell as a manufacturing technician, troubleshooting boards all the way down to the chip level. So that's the first 3 or 4 years I was actually working on the boards and working my way up towards the engineering level, understanding how the boards worked, how the computers worked, everything. And then there was a mobility program, and I needed a change, and I wanted to get into R&D. So I took this opening for a technical writer, and they were impressed, not with my writing skills as much as with my knowledge, which is something most people in their writing group did not have. So they hired me and said, we can teach you to write. I mean, my writing skills weren't bad, but they weren't, you know, they're a bit naive. And so without a degree, without any education in technical writing, I became a technical writer overnight. One of the cool things was, since I understood the technology, and this is going to be a theme you're going to hear again and again, that I understood how the computers worked, I understood the concepts, I understood the practical applications. It was easy for me to talk to the engineers. It got to the point where I got in trouble. The engineers decided that, oh, we'll just talk to Bob and then not talk to any of the other writers because they didn't understand. They actually had the writers come to me, which for the older writers, they were not pleased with this young upstart coming in and taking over, which I didn't mean to do, but that's the way it went. But most of the writers... go ahead.
I was just going to say, and that's one of those, the whole business of having some knowledge of the technology, it was a big deal back then. It probably is still, but back then it was really rare for a writer to have technical knowledge, which is why when I came out of the school I was coming out of, which was a technical school, it was an engineering school, world-renowned engineering school. So when I went into technical writing, they knew that I had a technical background and would be able to navigate. So.
Yeah, and so one of the, and you're right, it was rare for a writer to have it. A lot of the engineers during those days would actually write what they thought they needed to be in manuals. They wrote it up. And the groups at those time were mostly teachers or English majors who needed the job. And so they were essentially editors. They didn't quite understand what they were writing about. They just took the existing documentation and edited it, made it sound pretty. And away it went. Of course, that when that happens, you do introduce technical inaccuracies. And so those were those types of problems. So that was my talent, my skill set was that I was able to understand that. I wrote the first manual, it was well received, and then off it went. I mean, I picked up the writing pretty easily. I think a natural talent for writing. So that helped out a lot. But they taught me the editing skills, all the things they need to do in working with production, making drawings, so on and so forth. It's that's how I started.
And I do remember I talked before about Raytheon, which was an internship. When I finally graduated, I went to AT&T Bell Laboratories, and I was working on board level circuit descriptions. And what was interesting about that, because you talk about just technical knowledge and how rare it was. I mean, and again, back then it was still, I'm trying to think, the technical writing team was mixed, but I know that my claim to fame at the labs was an engineer sent me a drawing, and they were basically doing engineering change notices. That was the bulk of my work at AT&T.
And engineering change notices, like we got to fix and we got to document it and you got to implement it.
So I get this engineering change notice, and it had drawings in it as well as the engineer's basic write up of the drawing, and so I was editing that and making it and cleaning it up and doing all that stuff, and while I was doing that, I noticed that the engineer had written that there was an AND gate, an AND gate, and this is a logic diagram. So he had an AND gate in his write up, but then when I looked at the drawing, it was a NAND gate, which is NAND.
They work so very differently.
Yeah. Yes. And so I call up the engineer and I say, hey, you're saying that it's an AND gate, but the drawing says it's a NAND gate. Which is it? Now he was shocked that I knew what those things were. And he was also very grateful that I caught his error. So that was my So that was my claim to fame. All of a sudden, I was like the fair-haired boy among engineers. Oh, this guy actually can actually read a schematic in a drawing and knows what's there. So,
yeah.
It's a little bit of knowledge went a long way.
Oh, absolutely. And the fact that we could talk to them, I mean, made a big, big difference. That opened up the channels of communication. Now, today, obviously, you need to understand what you're writing about. I mean, you can't come in as an English major and expect to be a technical writer anymore. You have to be...
I don't know if that's true, by the way. I think you can still just walk in, be an English major and walk into technical writer. It really depends on what environment you're walking in.
Well, that's true, but I don't think you're going to be as successful.
Okay, I'll agree with that.
So one of the things, I think it's kind of funny to note that as a writer in my beginning days, people expected me to be an English major, to understand, you know, the fine details of punctuation and sentence structure. Now, of course, you know, I knew the basics and everything, but I was not an English major. And so that was part of my learning process too. But it was so funny to have these people come to me and expect me to know that they just simply expected that, and it wasn't true.
I think there's still some controversy over the idea that it's easier to take an English major and teach them technology than to take a technologist and teach them English. There are two schools of thoughts on that. Some managers think it's easier to hire an engineer and teach them the right, and some people think it's easier to take a writer and teach them the technology.
And we're smack in the middle.
I think that's still an argument that's raging.
Yeah. And this is where we come in. We're right in the middle. We know how to write, and we understand the technology.
Exactly. So, I mean, to some extent, I'm a technologist. I mean, I was never a technician, although I did do a stint as a mechanical engineering assistant at one time when I got a little bored with technical writing. But the thing is, I could do that. You know, I could move from technical writing to mechanical engineering without skipping a beat, right? And then go back. And as I said in the beginning, any technical knowledge you have in any subject is going to help you in technical writing. So even if you're a lawyer, if you start editing law documents, you know, the fact that you have that law degree means that you can understand all that gobbledygook and make sense of it and clean it up. And, you know, so if you're a mechanical engineer, you also understand how to read mechanical drawings and all that stuff. So any technical knowledge you can pick up. And I have to admit, I was also a hobbyist. I mean, I'm a high-end audio guy, and I was building amplifiers and things like that when I was a kid. And so I had that understanding as well. So I had a lot of technical knowledge that I didn't really think much of it, but when I got into technical writing, it all became very, very valuable.
And, you know, similar to me, because I was always fixing things, I think if anyone was to take a point out of this, this is a theme we're going to come back to. If you're a technical writer and want to be a technical writer, the best thing you can do is understand the technology in the field that you're in, whether it be medical, networking, cybersecurity, anything. You know, if you understand the technology, and I don't mean you need to be a programmer. I'm not.
Right.
If you need to understand the concepts, you need to understand what that medical device is doing. You know, you need to understand what that cybersecurity software can do. You need to understand networking if you're into that. The basic concepts, maybe you can't put one together, but you understand how they fit together. That's understanding the technology, understanding the concepts. It's so key to being successful.
And as you said before, the big part of it is getting engineers help. In other words, if you really don't understand the technology and you go into an engineer's office and you expect that engineer to explain to you basic concepts of engineering, they're not going to want to talk to you. They don't have the time to waste to teach you basic stuff. But if you come in there and ask targeted questions based on a knowledge that you already have, you just need clarification from them. They're more than happy to help with that.
Yeah, I found that time and time again. It's so funny how many times I come in as a writer early in my career, walk into an engineer's office, and they expect, oh, he's going to ask me what an AND gate is. You know, and it's like, you know, I come in and I ask a very targeted question. And so many times I've seen their eyes open and like, what? What's this guy saying? I didn't expect that. Or I'd get some pat answer, and then I'd say, no, what I really need to know is, and I'd do some detailed question. And again, the surprise. But once they get over that, yeah, I, I found that that opens up the door to a great working relationship.
Exactly. So, I mean, so I guess the bottom line in terms of if you want to get into technical writing, make sure that you're, what makes technical writing such a great profession, at least from my perspective, is that you're not pigeonholed. So let's say you're in electrical engineering. That means that you can only do certain things. If you're hired as an electrical engineer, you're going to be doing electrical engineering. And that's all you're going to be doing, right? You're going to be working on electronic circuits, or different types of electronic circuits, but always electronic circuits. If you're a mechanical engineer, you're always going to be doing mechanical things and building that sort of thing. It might be different, but it's still mechanical. Technical writing, I can go from writing on a mechanical device to an electronics device to software to anything. And all I need is a cursory knowledge of those areas, and I can be effective. And that's what's fun about technical writing.
That's an incredibly important point, too. I found that true in my career. I could bounce around from technology to technology because I understood the basics of technical writing.
Right.
Understanding the technology you're in, and then understanding what the users want to hear. You know, what do they need to do their job with that product? So
exactly. And it's just,
yeah, those two good, those
the
knowledge, two points.
The knowledge you need to, go ahead, sorry.
I'm just saying those points is understanding the technology. And the other point in the art of technical writing is to understand how the users are going to use that product. Who are they?
Right.
What do they know? I've worked in cybersecurity for years. Okay. The people that are going to use cybersecurity products understand networking. Okay. If they don't, they're in the wrong job. Okay. They're going to fail.
Okay.
My manual can't help out with that problem, but they have to understand networking. They have to understand what a firewall is. They have to understand what servers are. They have to understand IP addresses. If they don't use this product. So I don't have to explain those things. I do have to explain was how does that certain cybersecurity software program fit into that environment, and what does it do, and how you can do it, and why you would want to do it. So that's one example.
And it's the same with medical devices, in that especially with surgical devices, for example. In other words, we're not going to be teaching a doctor in our documentation. We're not going to be teaching a doctor how to do surgery. We're just going to be letting that doctor know, okay, if you're doing this type of surgery, you can use our tool this way. Press these buttons, you know? Because, they're the experts. We're just here to help.
Yeah.
Our documentation and our product is just here to help. So,
exactly. That's true of most products, really.
Except for consumer products, I think.
Well, yeah. I guess I have to take a step back and say, we really don't do consumer products.
No, I've never worked on a consumer product. But I'm sure there are technical writers who do.
Yeah, and they're pretty awful. Oh, no, I shouldn't say that.
I mean, because I mean, for example, you buy a car and you get that 1,000-page booklet about all the things in the car. Somebody had to write that. So,
and they get paid for that? Oh, maybe I'm in the wrong business. Yeah, some of that's pretty bad. Anyways, so we do corporate products and stuff. By applying my basic knowledge of the points of the art of technical writing. Okay, so we've already talked about understanding the technology, being knowledgeable for the user. I mean, those two things will get you a long, long way. And in my career, I have done cybersecurity, medical, clinical trials, computer, military. You know, we actually had to install computers into submarines, so very hardware-oriented, you know, to make sure they didn't get rattled around, and it was incredibly important. Telecommunication, you know, I know that you've got quite a long list too of different technologies we've worked in. But the concepts, those two concepts, understanding what that technology is, which isn't hard. It really isn't.
You only need a cursory knowledge. You don't need to go in depth. You just need to know enough to ask good questions. Yeah. And I mean, I know in your case, you push the envelope in terms of trying to get user feedback in companies where user feedback was not the norm. And medical devices, user feedback is the norm. But outside of that, it isn't the norm. So you've been successful in pushing for that, as have I, in certain spaces. But that's also an important part of learning the user.
And now we have, to us, is a relatively new field. It's been around for a few years. It's called UX, user experience. Okay, and we're going to talk more about that later in another podcast. But basically, technical writing and user design kind of meet, and there's quite a bit of overlap. User experience is basically understanding what the user is doing, why they're doing it, the environment they're in, and designing the product to fit, you know, so it's very user-friendly. Technical writing tries to do the same thing, but not from a product design, from a knowledge design, so from an information design. So we try to make the manual or the documentation, which is now documentation includes the online user interface, the messages that you see, as well as any document or, and that can come in various forms too. So there's a, definitely an interaction, and so a lot of people are gravitating towards UX.
Getting a little ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, we are getting ahead of ourselves, but I think
in terms of like beginnings in history, because you know Bob is talking about kind of where we are now and sort of the future, because we're not 100% there where technical writing is an integral part of user experience. Maybe a few enlightened smaller companies do that, but most companies still don't buy into the idea that they're that there's an overarching information wall between the customer and the product that includes technical writing, includes the interface, includes the graphics, includes all the other interfaces. I mean, even the I managed a human factors group way back when, and human factors back then was really more hardware oriented. You know, how do you design the buttons? How do you design the knobs? What kind of things do you put on the hardware interface to make it easier to use? That field has now expanded into what you're talking about. But in the early days of technical writing was a very, very separate thing. Usability was not really at the forefront. In fact, I mean, this is when we started, it was before Apple kind of revolutionized or at least brought attention to the idea of usability. Apple's kind of been given credit for getting people to think more about usability. In the past, when we started, usability really wasn't something people thought about. They were just throwing products over the wall and hoping that people would use it.
Yes. Well, to be fair, you know, when we started, you know, computers and all this technology was not for the faint of heart. It was for trained, experienced users in certain fields. And as IT has grown, I mean, you're not expected to be as knowledgeable to use the products anymore. You know, it's kind of a dumbing down of the products, which is a good thing. So anybody can use them with minimal training. And so the whole high-tech industry has evolved in that direction. And technical writing, though some people don't see it, is a key part of that.
Well, it's as you make that statement, I always like to throw out the fact that, just to tell the story, I was sitting in, I just joined this company. I'm sitting in a meeting with the senior executives or whatever, and they're talking about, well, you know, we're going to design this product so that we'll, you know, in a few years we won't need technical writing. And I just shook my head and I said, you know, I think I've heard that statement. I've been a technical writer for 25 years, and I think every year I hear that statement. But you know what? I'm still here. And there are still a lot of technical writers out there. And I don't really see technical writing going away. Even things like the iPhone, for example, they don't ship any documentation with their product. So what happens is there are a whole bunch of independent technical writers creating documentation for the iPhone. It's just all that Apple's done is they've avoided hiring technical writers, and they've got the world writing their tech docs for them. Smart, very smart. But that's what's happening.
Actually, there is a user guide for, I think Apple used to do it, but you have to go find it. It's online somewhere, very deep in the website.
Most of the things I see is, you know, stuff written by third parties, independent people who are just writing, oh, yeah, if you want to do this with your iPhone, here's how.
Yeah, which I find a lot more useful.
Yeah. Well, because they're good writers, you know, but it saves Apple a lot of money because they don't have to write it.
Yes.
So there you go.
And they and these independent people know what the problems are because they face them themselves. Oh, I found this problem and I found the solution. Well, exactly. I wanted to do this and I couldn't figure it out. And when I finally did, yeah, I'll tell the world.
So that's so when they talk about, oh, we won't need technical writers, they may be right. They can possibly get other people, other technical writers who are not being paid by them to write the documentation for them.
In various companies, in fact, I was actually a UI designer at one company for a while. I always said my job as a writer and a UI designer is to put myself out of a job. That never happened.
Never happened. So, I mean, I think they are moving. I mean, AI is theoretically gonna push. Push the envelope on that side in terms of creating documentation. But so far from things I've read with technical writers reviewing things written by AI is that it's terrible. So it's a long way off. So technical writers, not to worry. There's a long way to go before they can replace you as a...
Yeah, I think one of the cool things about AI is it takes existing information and packages up for you and makes it nice and pretty and stuff. That's wonderful. I mean, I use AI. It was a search engine. It cuts my time way down as far as finding things and the information I need. But as far as writing something new and understanding what needs to be written, it's not there yet. I think we need to wrap this up today. We just wanted to give you a quick overview. We're back. We took a bit of a hiatus while we get our lives in order. Things have changed. And
moving from the, relocating from the U.S. to another country is not an easy task.
Yeah, and so we haven't been having our glass of wine face to face anymore. but that's another story. Anyways, so this is our opening for season two. We're looking forward to doing a lot more podcasts about the art of technical writing. And I'm sure as we go along, we'll find a lot more interesting issues to discuss. In the meantime, have a great day. We'll see you soon.
Bye.